الحمد لله الذي يهدي من يشاء من عباده إلى صراط مستقيم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله الأمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأزواجه وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah who guides whomsoever He wills among His slaves to the right path. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone, with no partners. He is the helper and the protector of the believers. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, his companions, wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqu allaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who have believed, protect yourselves from the punishment of Allah and do that which He commanded you. And do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims to Allah. Brothers in Islam, the discussion we will be having today is titled "The Priceless Value of Guidance." The priceless value of guidance. There are many things in this world which we take for granted, and each and every one of us is guilty of this in one way or another. We just take things for granted. The peace of mind, the security, the availability of wealth and accommodation and spouses and children, today, right now, we take it for granted. Because not too far from here, none of these are available for our Muslim brothers and sisters in faith. And if you go further, it gets even worse than that. They were available at some point in time, and now they're being snatched away from them right before their eyes. And the truth of the matter is, we just don't appreciate. We just take them for granted. We're guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Sadly. But however, since we are in the mode of taking things for granted, there are some things which we simply cannot afford to do so in regards to them. We just cannot afford to do it. Because what I mentioned earlier were matters of the worldly life. At the end of the day, they're material. Whether it is wealth or children or security or peace of mind, these are things which are created. There are things which may be available or may be unavailable. That's the norm. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days Allah Azza wa Jal will make it go in a cycle amongst people. Some people will have it and the next day they don't. They will have it, the next day they won't. They will have it, and so on and so forth, in a cycle. But the matters of guidance, the issue of guidance, the value of guidance, if we do not appreciate it enough, or if we take it for granted, it may be taken away. And if it is taken away, then we have a disaster. We have a calamity which may never be rectified unless Allah wills otherwise. In other words, we have no say in this, no control in this. Guidance. We also take it for granted. Specifically when we are in an environment where other people also seem to be guided. But you really get to feel the value of guidance when you start interacting with people who are not guided. And you can't help but be astonished at the various levels that human beings may be in without even them knowing it. You appreciate it when you see people lacking it. And I us here is among those who are lacking it. Do we really understand what it means that Allah Azza wa Jal has guided one of us to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the correct understanding of the deen, to be actually given the ability to travel upon the straight path? Because there's a travel related to this. We still have to make many, many steps towards the destination. But at least we know we're going in the right direction. As opposed to seeing people who don't even know the direction. Or they know the direction and they make a U-turn and go in the opposite way. And you're trying to say, where are you going, akhi? Come back over here before it's too late. And he looks at you like, I know what I'm doing. Mind your business and I will mind mine. And then you can almost perceive the accidents and the destruction which will fall upon this person, because it's the way of Allah with this creation. When we go against the way that Allah has prescribed, then there's no way we will make it anywhere which is productive and constructive. It will be destruction at some point in time. And if Allah gives the people some time, some respite, as in He doesn't hasten the punishment now, it will be brought together and it will be brought to them on Yawm al-Qiyamah wal-Iyadu Billah, the day where we do not want to deal with these issues at all. These things we have to sort out now before we meet Allah. Because meeting Allah with these burdens on our shoulders will be too much to deal with. And the destination is not a prison cell. Had it been a prison cell, it would have been okay. If one of us were in prison and he is deprived from freedom and he cannot see his loved ones on a daily basis unless they pay him a visit, still you have some food that they give you every now and then, even if it's lousy. You still offered a sandwich at some point in time, unless we're talking about some real filthy prisons where their intent is to torture the person and kill him. We're not talking about, we're talking about standard prison. You still have some rights. In Jahannam, however, there will be no such thing. There will be food, but it will be from Shajaratu Zakkum. And one will not be able to swallow it. Because its fruits will be like ru'usu shayateen, like the heads of the devils. Wal'iyadu billah. And the water that one will be asked to drink, it will be boiling at such degrees that it will burn the internals of the person. It's just beyond description. Had it not been that Allah mentioned it in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah, one would say this is impossible. But we have firm belief in every word because it was revealed. But we haven't seen anything like this in this worldly life. It is something that we have never experienced. And human bodies now cannot handle it. But they will be made to be able to handle it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we need to pay, sort these things out now. My brother in Islam, do you understand what it means that you are in a masjid now? Seriously, do you know how lovely this is? How beautiful this is? How awesome this is? Do you know the amount of mercy involved in you being given the ability to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while others are sleeping now? Or they don't pray Jumu'ah, let alone the 5 daily prayers. This is besides non-Muslims who don't even bother to enter into the deen of Allah. Look around you, look around the world. Look around the world. By Allah's grace, I have tried my best to stay away from televisions. I hope that we all try to do the same thing. I don't have a TV at home. But recently I've had to travel in a couple of places, and in the hotel there's a TV. And I wanted to see what is being offered to the world, hoping I will find something beneficial, something beneficial. However, if you flip through the channels, there seems to be a single message directed to human beings. Come on with us, let's go to hell. That's what it is. But since they cannot put it so bluntly, they have to decorate it and adorn it and add some different things to make it seem digestible to the people. But the real message is, come on, let's go to hell. Who cares about this world? Who cares about the life to come? Who cares about anything? Have fun. Either naked women or music or something that has to do with the rights of Allah being violated. And I found this to be a common theme among international Western channels and local channels and Eastern channels and so-called Muslim channels or Arab channels. It's the same thing, just different language. But sitting around behind this square for too long may deprive one of us of that value and that bounty of guidance. Which is what I really wanted to speak about. The state of need that we are in right now. We have to identify within ourselves that had it not been for Allah's guidance, we are worthless. Wallahi, wallahi, it is a very serious matter. You will not know how important it is to be guided until you see those who are misguided. And when you see that, my brother, let us inside realize, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, look at this, look at this. But Allah has saved me from all that. This is the way you should behave. This is the way you should think, you mind. Don't think, oh, I'm so special. Oh, mashallah, I'm this, I'm that. I got courage. No, 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 no. Because if Allah willed, all of that will be taken away in a second. And we learn this from the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal instructed the Muslims in the Quran, and He spoke on their behalf, as in He said what they should be saying. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. O Allah, do not cause our hearts to deviate after having guided us. And grant us from You mercy. Verily, You are the bestower. Bestow on us mercy. You are the bestower. Read it, reflect upon it, understand it. You will find that it's speaking about the state of mind of the believer and his reliance upon Allah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. Allah is the one who bestows the specific mercy through which our hearts do not deviate from the path. If Allah willed otherwise, none can change that. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ, it was narrated that the most common dua he would make, the most common persistent dua he had, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts over and around, keep my heart firm on your deen. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one whom Islam came through is asking Allah to keep him firm on his deen. Then what about us? What are we going to ask? And what are we supposed to do? If the messenger of Allah is praying all night, are we praying all night? If he's fasting so many days, are we fasting so many days? If he adhered and he feared Allah the most, are we adhering to Islam and fearing Allah the most? He was the best to his family, are we the best to our family? He was the best in dealing with the people, are we the best in dealing with the people? You will find that more or less we will fail on all fronts. Yet, he's asking Allah to keep his heart firm. Then what do we do with ourselves? How many times have we made this dua? How many times? And did you hear this for the first time now? Even worse. Didn't know that it existed? That would be a bigger calamity. But this is the state of affairs we're in. This is the seriousness of the matter. We have taken guidance for granted, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except those whom Allah has shown specific mercy to. But we have to change that. And in the next part of the khutbah, we will speak about the means through which, inshallah, one is able to keep and maintain the guidance which has been granted by Allah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Brothers in Islam, the guidance, this priceless value of guidance, there are means to maintain it. We understand from the Quran, as per the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, that any ni'mah which Allah gives, there's one thing we have to do to maintain it, which is gratefulness. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That is one ayah. And He has given you of everything you have asked. And if you were to enumerate the favors of Allah, you will not be able to do so. The other ayah explains it. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And your Lord has proclaimed that if you show thankfulness, I shall increase you. Not only maintenance, but also increase. So the means through which one is able to appreciate the guidance, maintain the guidance, and acquire more guidance is through thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thankfulness to Allah manifests in three different manners. It is done in the heart by recognizing the favors of Allah upon us, that these are from Allah. Allah is the one who guided us, not fulan, not the speaker, not the da'i, not the shaykh, no. He was only one who was given directions. The guidance came from Allah. The real guidance came from Allah. Otherwise, the best person who gave instructions and directions was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, he was not able to guide those whom he loved. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You do not guide those whom you love, however Allah guides whomsoever He wills. So Abu Talib was not granted this guidance, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him clear instructions on how to follow the guidance. So we realize that the guidance is coming from Allah through X individual, whom you may appreciate, but the ultimate praise is for Allah. Because if that person wasn't there, Allah would have brought something else or someone else to do the job, as long as the guidance is delivered to you. The second thing is to speak about it. Praise Allah with our actual verbal expressions. Now that the heart has identified, say something about it. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Not boasting, not to boast, but to show the favors of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. He used to say, أَنَا أَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ. He was sahaba, I'm the one who feared Allah the most amongst you, because there was a lesson behind that. We have to be careful, however, about the intention while saying such a statement, so that it doesn't backfire and it becomes a mode of boasting. And the third way it manifests is through utilizing it in that which is pleasing to Allah. And this is where we seem to have the biggest problem. Most of us, alhamdulillah, in our heart, I recognize, and we say something about it. But now, utilizing these blessings in a way pleasing to Allah, this is the very slippery slope, as they say, where many people don't make it to the top. What are we doing with these favors of Allah Azza wa Jal? This guidance from Allah, this ilm from Allah, this hidayah. Do we keep it to ourselves while we see our family members suffering in misguidance? And we are too shy to speak to them, too shy to share the message, too shy to educate them. This is the case with some. Allah guides them to the truth and they see their family member go to Jahannam and say, let them go. No, Habib. No, brother. They have a right over you. Even the Prophet ﷺ was told, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. And then, أَنذِرْ, warn the closest of kin to you. He began with the closest people to him, then the da'wah expanded. Your family members, for one of the ways you show appreciation for the priceless value of guidance is that you act upon it and you share it with your loved ones, with your family members who need it but don't even realize it. This is what we were speaking about in the beginning. People don't even realize it. They are immersed in their deviance, immersed in sinfulness, to the point that the hearts have become blind. The person doesn't even know that he's off the path. And he makes fun of those who are guided. It reaches a stage that someone is so misguided that he clowns the one who's guided. He makes fun of him, he mocks him, oh, look at this mutawwir. May Allah guide him. Extremist. He doesn't understand Islam. And you understand Islam, big chief? Is this fair? Is this fair in the deen of Allah? If someone wants to let his beard grow, let him go. Leave him alone, ya akhi. Do not label him and categorize him under a particular group of people with a stereotype you have in your mind. Because people are different. Bearded and unbearded are not the same. This one has good and this one has good. This one has bad and this one has bad. No one is perfect. So we do not want to fall into the trap of mocking people that appear to be guided in one way or another while thinking that this is a light matter in the sight of Allah. It is not. Share the message with your loved ones. So in summary, my brothers in Islam, let's recognize a few facts. You're a Muslim because of the guidance of Allah and His mercy. And you're a believer in the unseen because of the guidance of Allah and His mercy. And you have brothers around you whom you love and who love you because of the bounty of Allah and His mercy. And you have children and spouses and everything that you need to survive because of the bounty of Allah and His mercy. And you come to the masjid to pray because of the bounty of Allah and His mercy. All of these are from Allah alone. And Allah has the right to take them away if we do not maintain them. So the reminder for myself and for you, my brothers in Islam, is let us strive on maintaining them. Do not take them for granted. If we take them for granted and we do not maintain them, we do not pay attention to them, they may go away one day. And if they go away, they may never return. And if they never return, then what I said about earlier about Jahannam will be applicable. So this is the day to make that change. This is the time to make that change. When you leave this masjid with a new way of thinking. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. What can I do to become a better Muslim and to make those around me better Muslims? What can I do to maintain this Islam? Let's be careful of every sin, no matter how small it appears to be, because every sin will work against us even after some time. It will eventually come and drag itself to destroy us unless Allah forgives it completely. And we have no guarantees because of the way we behave. Every sin may be a source of destruction. Let's abandon sinfulness altogether. Perhaps when we Muslims in Jeddah and in the rest of the world return to Allah, our brothers and sisters in Syria will get on their feet. See, there's a relationship between the two. It doesn't have to be one that is tangible for you to see it. But this is how the brotherhood in Islam works. And this is how the victory of Allah works. When some Muslims are rectifying themselves and acting upon the deen, Allah will give victory to the Muslim ummah at large. And this is the minimum requirement today that we can do. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enable us to act upon these reminders and to make us among those who listen to the reminder and act upon the best of it and to forgive all of us for our sins and shortcomings. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Aqim as-salah.